Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. We are wrapping up our Battlefield of the Mind review by Joyce Meyer. We're on Wilderness Mentality number 8. There's one more after this and then we're done. Our next book, we're going to pick right back up in a couple of weeks with the next book, which is a leadership, Christian leadership book. You could click the link in the show notes to get that. Go ahead and start reading it. We will get started on not next week's episode, but the week after that. Y'all, quick side note, over the weekend, I was putting together my notes for Sunday's episode, which was supposed to be our next Bible on Business installment. But as I was preparing that episode, I went down this rabbit hole of scripture, but I landed specifically somewhere in Corinthians that I want to discuss on our next Bible on Business episode. Within the context of where my mind already was for the episode, this particular text just really sat with me. And so I wanted to bring that as the main text of the episode. And because of that, I need to study it a bit more. I need to sit with it a bit more before I could communicate it. So I wasn't able to do that this weekend as I usually do, but I am looking forward to recording that within the next couple of days and getting it out to you guys. I am, again, just excited about it because I feel like it's a topic that is just simply not discussed enough. So stay tuned for that, our Bible on Business series this week. Quick church announcement. Thank you so much for everybody who joined me last night for the God Math webinar. If you missed it and you are a busy woman and you're looking for a formula to help you have the harmony that you're looking for in your life, I shared a formula that the Lord gave me, and I believe it'll bless you as well. The link is in the show notes for you to watch the replay. I may or may not place the replay on the feed. We'll see. But for right now, you could click the link in the show notes to check out the replay of that. The women there were blessed and we all really had a great time. I also have an event coming up in the DMV area specifically for ambitious women who wear multiple hats. If you are a wife, a mother, a busy professional, an entrepreneur, and you're looking for the strategies and the systems that are specifically tailor-made to what God has called you to do, then I invite you to join me for our She is Uncompromising Mastermind Weekend. This is a VIP weekend specifically for women who are looking for the tools. I am excited because we have a special guest who is going to be teaching a session called Effortlessly Efficient, How to Earn More While Doing Less. And her session is all about the tools and the automations and the systems that you need in your business. We are going to mastermind and have a lot of activities planned for us as a group and a community, because one thing that I know that is necessary for all of us in our journey is community of like-minded women who get it. Women you don't have to explain your faith to, you don't have to explain your ambition to, you don't have to explain your lifestyle to, but who get it and can support you. And it can really be an iron sharpening iron situation. So this is an elite event. There are some great inclusions. You also get access to my executive training curriculum that covers all the major areas of business, from operations to marketing to the legal aspect to finances. We have classes within the curriculum that was donated by my husband, who's a CPA, by my lawyer, who talked about legitimizing your business. I did the sessions on operations and marketing. This is a very unique curriculum where you get taught by a CPA, an MBA, and a lawyer within one curriculum. So the curriculum in and of itself, but it is worth way more than the ticket price to this event. But nevertheless, the link again to that is in the show notes for you to learn more information about our weekend, for you to join us. This is going to be an intimate experience, so seats are extremely limited. So it's first come, first serve. I don't want more than 12 people there. And I pray that you are one of those people. All right, so let's get into chapter 22. This is actually, I said it wrong earlier, Wilderness Mentality number 7. By Joyce Meyer in Battlefield of the Mind. This wilderness mentality says, my life is so miserable. I feel sorry for myself because my life is so wretched. Now, can I be honest with y'all? This chapter, in my opinion, could have been a paragraph. I felt like Miss Joyce was really reaching. One, it's a short chapter, but I just felt like in a few instances, she was reaching a little bit, and we'll get to those in a second. So she introduces the scripture or the chapter by bringing up the scripture, Numbers 14, 1 through 2. It says, in the New Living Translation, it says, then the whole community began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. And I'll continue on. They said, why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it have been better for us to return to Egypt? Then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. Joyce says, the Israelites felt exceedingly sorry for themselves. Every inconvenience became a new excuse to engage in self-pity. I remember when the Lord spoke to me during one of my pity parties. He said, Joyce, you can be pitiful or powerful, but you cannot be both. This is a chapter I don't want to skim over too quickly. It is vitally important to understand that we cannot entertain the sin of self-pity and also walk in the power of God. I thought this was good because I feel like it can be a really good self-check when we go down that rabbit hole of automatic negative thinking, when we go down that rabbit hole of feeling down on ourselves, thinking about the past, second guessing every decision, feeling just all of the feels and all the things that the enemy does to get us riled up and to get us throwing our own pity parties. I think it's important for us to write this down and keep it as a plan of action or a question to ask ourselves. Hey, are you going to be pitiful or are you going to be powerful? Which one? Because you can't walk in the power of God and also throw yourself this pity party. You can't walk in the freedom of Christ while also keeping yourself bound to past decisions. You can't walk and experience fullness of joy if you're not aware of God's grace and his sovereignty and instead just focusing on your situation. So let that question that she has, are you going to be pitiful or powerful? Write that down and use it whenever you find yourself just going down those thoughts of self-pity. Now, here's where things got a little bit confusing for your girl. She introduced 1 Thessalonians 5 and 11. I'm going to read it out of the NLT. It says, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. And when I read this, I'm like, what does this have to do with the pity party? So then I go, I'm like, well, let me see the broader context of this text, because maybe I'm missing something. In 1 Thessalonians, Apostle Paul, he writes to the church to address concerns regarding the return of Christ and to provide encouragement amidst the struggles that they were having. The letter, it has themes of hope, faith, community, and it encourages believers to remain steadfast in their faith despite persecution. In the letter, he prays their faithfulness and their love for one another. And then in the closing chapter where we're at here, he shifts to some practical exhortations where he was urging them to support and uplift each other as they navigate their spiritual journeys. And so this letter was a call for mutual encouragement and really was just highlighting the role of community in the Christian faith, reinforcing the ideas that believers are called to actively participate in one another's growth and well-being. So this is all about community, building each other up, encouraging each other to overcome persecution and to stay steadfast in the faith. How does this relate to this wilderness mentality of my life is so miserable, I feel so sorry for myself? And so I'm like, well, maybe what she's saying is we got to find community to be encouraged as a solution to our pity parties. That's what I was thinking. But then as we read on, she goes on to say, pity was hard for me to give up. And this is directly after the text, nothing before here. It says, pity was so hard for me to give up. I had used it for years to confront myself when I was hurting. The minute someone hurts us, the moment we experience disappointment, the devil begins to whisper lies to us about how cruelly and unjustly we have been mistreated. All you need to do is listen to the thoughts rushing into your mind during such times, and you will quickly realize that the enemy uses self-pity to keep us in bondage. The Bible, however, gives us no liberty to feel sorry for ourselves. Instead, we are to encourage and edify one another in the Lord. She says, this is the true gift of compassion, which is having godly pity towards others who are hurting and spending our life relieving their suffering. But self-pity is perverted because it is taking something that God intended to be given to others and turning it on ourselves. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. I'm not sure if this is how it's written or what, but I feel like what she was trying to do here is introduce encouragement of others as a solution to self-pity, because I think what she's saying is that self-pity, when in its pure form and stewarded well, is actually compassion. And we're supposed to be moved by that pity or that compassion to encourage other people. But when it's not stewarded well and when it's perverted by the enemy, it leads us into throwing a pity party. I believe that that's what she's saying, but I feel like I wish she would have dove into that a bit more, because I don't think that that's all the way clear. And I think we could flesh that out a bit more with scripture and with some examples from the scripture, especially because something like self-pity, I believe, is such a detrimental wilderness mentality. I mean, they all are, but as we saw in the introductory text, these people was like, let's just go back to bondage altogether. And I feel like that's how pity can manifest in our own life, will send us back to things that God has delivered us from. And so because it has that level of severity, or the consequences of this wilderness mentality are so dire, I wish she would have gone into a lot more detail and fleshed this thought out a bit more, because I feel like it's a little potential there, but it's kind of fuzzy. And I feel like she rushed over it a bit. I have another part highlighted. So the parts that I think are good, I highlight in pink. The parts that I'm questioning, I highlight in a different color. So I have this one highlighted in green because, it wasn't fully making sense to me. She says, love is the same way. So this is coming directly after her talking about compassion. So let me go back up to the compassion part, and then I'm going to read it through to the part that I'm questioning a bit. So she says, there is a true gift of compassion, which is having godly pity towards others who are hurting and spending our life relieving their suffering. But self-pity is perverted because it is taking something that God intended to be given to others and turning it in on ourselves. Love is the same way. This is the part that has a question mark for me. Love is the same way. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And let me go and read that in the New Living Translation to see what it says there. It says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. That's what it says in the NLT. So going back to what she said, she says, he has done this so we might know how much God loves us and that we may be able to love others. When we take the love God meant to be given away and turn it towards ourselves, it becomes selfishness and self-centeredness, which actually destroys us. We certainly should love ourselves in a balanced way, appreciating what God has made and having self-respect. But excessive self-love is a huge problem. Self-pity is idolatry. turning in on ourselves, concentrating on us and our feelings. It makes us only aware of our own selves and our own needs and concerns. And that is certainly a narrow-minded way to live. I think she definitely has a point with self-pity being idolatry. But I have a question mark going back to when she introduced Romans 5:5 and then said that when we take the love that God meant to be given away and turn it on ourselves, to me, that's not what the scripture is saying. If we go back to Romans 5, let's start at verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Verse 5, which is what she quotes, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So this text is not talking about love that God gave us to give away. This is talking about faith. This is talking about the peace that comes from the Lord. This is talking about rejoicing in trials and building endurance. This is talking about the love that the Lord gives us through his Holy Spirit. This is talking about the inward working of the Holy Spirit. So I don't understand how she got her point from this text. I feel like it was very much so a reach. And the point that she comes to, the conclusion that she comes to, isn't necessarily wrong. However, she's still pointing people back to Christ. However, I don't like the stretching of scripture and the misapplication of it. I'm not a fan of that. And I think that that is a major flaw in this chapter in particular, because I have a few things that I believe were off in this chapter. In the next section, she introduces Philippians 2:4, which says, don't look out for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. And she talks about, she introduces this as a remedy to the self-pity and this self-righteousness. Like, instead of looking at a situation and only focusing on how you feel about it, consider other people and what they have going on. And she gave an example about how she had a speaking engagement that was canceled unexpectedly, and she was looking forward to it and she was disappointed, and that could have opened up the door for her to go down this pity party. But instead, she chose to look at it from their point of view and what they might have been going through to cause this unexpected change. And this is something I believe that we can apply as entrepreneurs, where when things happen, it can be easy to take things personally in business. If a client cancels a service, if somebody returns a product, it is very easy to take that personally and to go into this pity party. But if instead of worrying about us and how we feel and giving into all the ways the enemy tries to bait us into our pity parties, if we instead use these times as an opportunity to take on the interest of others, we could use that as learning lessons to improve our business practices. Maybe you can make some changes to your services. Maybe you can make some changes to the logistics of your business based upon this response of your audience. So now you've taken that and you've accepted it. You've not gone down the mental rabbit hole, and you've turned this around to something that's going to better your business. And you can also use that as an opportunity to win back that customer. You can offer them something for free, or you can offer them some type of incentive to get them to come back to see how you've improved upon where they may have complained previously. And so by not letting yourself go down that rabbit hole and taking on the interest of your customers, you can then not fall victim to this wilderness mentality, but instead use the temptation of it to redirect yourself into something that'll be better for the and in the best interest of everyone involved. There was another part that I highlighted too in my question mark color that I feel like she was reaching, but I'm not even going to get into that. But I wanted to do this episode because I had a few things that I just felt like weren't all the way clear or correct in this chapter. I wanted to point those things out because no matter what book you're reading, no matter who you're listening to, I want us to always get into the habit of going back and first reading the scriptures in context, because we have to make sure that those that we are allowing to influence us spiritually, we got to make sure we're qualifying them as wise counsel. Remember some episodes back, we did the Bible on Business episode about qualifying wise counsel. And I said, you have to qualify the individual and you have to qualify what they say. What they say must align with the word of God. So as we read these faith-based books, as we listen to this faith-based content, always go back to the word of God and make sure what they're saying is lining up with it in its original context. Because a lot of people take these bits and pieces of scriptures and they try to make it fit and they be stretching it and all of this stuff. Like, nothing Joyce said in this chapter was necessarily wrong, but I do feel like she misapplied scriptures a couple of times in order to make her point. And I don't personally like that. And I don't think that that is something that we should take lightly or we should gloss over. So we should always be vigilant and paying attention in everything, especially when it comes to ways in which we put ourselves in positions to be influenced. And when we read books, we're doing just that. So again, I wanted to highlight that because I wanted you, because we on like, we got maybe what, one or two chapters left. We're at the very end of the book, but that don't mean we stop checking. That don't mean we stop going back to the text and make sure that what she said and what the text says still lines up. So I want you to get into the practice of doing this for yourself as well, which is why I wanted to lean into that for this particular episode. So I'll go ahead and stop there. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. Click the link in the show notes to get the book that we're going to be reading next. Make sure you subscribe so that you get the notification when the next episode comes out. I love you guys, and I'll see you in the next one.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.